payment on Haribo. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So I'm going to start by reading a text from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 1, text 20. I'll repeat the Sanskrit. Atavya vastitandristva dratarastram kapidvajaha pravrite shastra sampate danur udyamya pandavaha Rishikesham tatavakyam idamaha mahipate. At that time, Arjuna, the son of Pandu, seated in the chariot bearing the flag marked with Hanuman, took up his bow and prepared to shoot his arrows. O king, after looking at the sons of Dhritarashtra drawn in military array, Arjuna then spoke to Lord Krishna these words. And then purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The battle was just about to begin. It is understood from the above statement that the sons of Dhritarashtra were more or less disheartened by the unexpected arrangement of military forces by the Pandavas, who were guided by the direct instructions of Lord Krishna on the battlefield. The emblem of Hanuman on the flag of Arjuna was another sign of victory, because Hanuman cooperated with Lord Ram in the battle between Ram and Ravana, and Lord Ram emerged victorious. Now both Rama and Hanuman were present on the chariot of Arjuna to help him. Lord Krishna is Ram himself, and wherever Lord Ram is, his eternal servitor Hanuman and his eternal consort Sita, the goddess of fortune, are present. Therefore, Arjuna had no cause to fear any enemies whatsoever. And above all, the Lord of the senses, Lord Krishna, was personally present to give him direction. Thus, all good counsel was available to Arjuna in the matter of executing the battle. In such auspicious conditions, arranged by the Lord for his eternal devotee, lay the signs of assured victory. Omigyana timurandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshuran militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhar shri vasudhi gaur bhaktavinda hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama 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 hare hare. So we learn here that when Arjuna, the great devotee of Lord Krishna, was about to begin the battle of Kurukshetra, he was on his chariot with Lord Krishna, and on the chariot was the flag of Hanuman. Of course, Hanuman is the great monkey devotee of Lord Ram. Now, the battle of Kurukshetra took place about 5,000 years ago at the beginning, well, at the end of the Dwapara Yuga and just before the beginning of the Kali Yuga. But the history of Lord Ram goes back much further in time than that. It goes back to at least the Treta Yuga. So many of you know that the Vedic time concept is cyclical. Time goes in vast cycles called yugas. There's a cycle of four yugas. It begins with a Satya Yuga, a golden age. And then it moves on to the Treta Yuga. And then it goes to the Dwapara Yuga, and then finally to the Kali Yuga, which is the age that we're in now, the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. So the whole cycle lasts 4,320,000 years. So if we want to know when the pastimes of Lord Ram took place, it was about 2 million years ago, because that's when it was the Treta Yuga. So it's a very long history. If you go to India, you'll see many very ancient deities of Sita and Ram. Here on the altar we have deities of Radha and Krishna, but in many temples in India there are deities of Sita and Ram. Sita being the consort, the eternal consort of Lord Ramachandra. For example, in Udupi, there are some deities of Sita and Ram that, according to Srila Prabhupada, are very, very ancient. Actually, they were worshipped in Ayodhya, the city of Ram, at the time of Lord Ramachandra himself, and even before that, which means over 2 million years ago. So there was a Brahmin who was living in Ayodhya at that time, in the Treta Yuga, when Lord Ramachandra was present there. And he was a very pious Brahmana, and whenever Lord Ram would leave Ayodhya, he would fast. He wouldn't eat. So once Lord Rama left the city of Ayodhya for about a week, 8 or 9 days, and during the whole time, the Brahmin fasted. He wouldn't even take any water until Lord Ram came back to the city of Ayodhya. Then he broke his fast. So Lord Ram told his brother Lakshman, "Yes, this Brahmin, he's very pious. I want you to give him the deities of Sita and Ram that have been worshipped in our family for such a long time." So Lakshman gave those deities of Sita and Ram to this Brahmin. And he worshipped them for a long time until he left this world. And then they came, the deities came into the possession of Hanuman, the great devotee of Lord Ramachandra. And they were passed down from generation to generation in India over vast periods of time until they came into the hands of Madhvacharya, who was one of the great founding spiritual masters of one of the main lines of Vaishnava or Krishna worship in India. And then he had them installed in a temple in Udupi, where they can be seen today. So this worship of Lord Ram has been going on for a long, long time in India, millions of years, actually. So it's quite different than the modern histories. According to the modern histories, they would say, oh, there was no Vedic culture in India any earlier than 3,500 years ago. But you can go all over India. You can find many temples of Sita Ram, Lakshman Hanuman, where if you investigate, you will see that those temples, those deities have been there for a long time, going all the way back to the Treta Yuga, and perhaps even further back in time than that. So that's one thing. There's an historical significance to what we're celebrating today. We're celebrating the appearance of Lord Ram. And this celebration has been going on in India for so many years, going back many thousands, even millions of years. So it's a very great historical event. There are so many events that take place in history. So many people are born, so many politicians come and go. But after so many years, we're still celebrating the appearance of Lord Ramachandra. And why is that? It's because the most important historical events that take place in the world are the appearances of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What could be more important than that? Therefore, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvataha chaktva deham punarjanma naiti mametu soarjana. So, Krishna says these appearances and pastimes of his avatars, his incarnations, are very important. They're transcendental. Everyone today is very, you know, interested in hearing about the activities of different sports stars or film stars or politicians or other people. You know, Srila Prabhupada said in one of his books that, you know, today, by media propaganda, even some insignificant, worthless person can become world famous in an instant. So we see there are so many film stars, sports stars, politicians, and others who become very, very famous by this media propaganda. But what is the effect of hearing about them? The effect of hearing about them is that one remains entangled in the cycle of birth and death, and janma karma. So if we hear about their births and their activities, we don't become transcendental. So if we hear and remember about the birth, the appearance, rather, of Lord Ramachandra and his amazing pastimes, then we become freed, you know, from the cycle of birth and death. So these appearances of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are the most important historical events. And that is why we remember them and celebrate them. And also, there's another level of significance for the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, and that is that people, they want good leadership. We see everyone becomes very upset when they find some leader has not behaved in a proper way, or that some leader has disappointed them, or that they confront some problem, some economic problem. They want to know, what are the leaders going to do about it? Now, if there are no properly qualified leaders, then nothing will happen. Nothing will change. So this is one reason why people in India, they recall this Rama Rajya, this rule of Lord Ramachandra. And when they think of what some ideal system of government should be, you know, they think, yes, it should be like this Ram Rajya. And this is the actual fact, that unless there is a leader who is either on the level of Ram or following carefully in the footsteps of Ram, there can, you know, be no peace and happiness in the world. You see, now people in this country are very concerned about who will be their next leader. You know, they're very unhappy, many of them, with the present leader. They're looking for a good leader. But what will it be? What will it be? If there's not a leader on the level of Lord Ram, or who is not following the example of Lord Ram, then we can say that the leadership will fail. So what example did Lord Ram give? He opposed the principles of irreligion. He protected the devotees of the Lord. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Parachanaya sadunam vinashanaya chidushtakutam dharma samstarpanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. This is the reason for the appearance of the Lord. He appears from time to time to protect his devotees, to destroy the demoniac, and to establish the principles of religion. And this is exactly what Lord Ram did. There was the great demon, Ravana, who was causing so much trouble to the whole world. And also, you know, he kidnapped Sita. Sita is the consort of Lord Ram, the consort of the Supreme Lord, the pleasure energy of the Supreme Lord. So, this demon, Ravana, he kidnapped her and tried to enjoy her. So in the same way, the leaders today, they want to take the energy of God. They want to take the resources that are supplied, you know, by God and use them for godless purposes. And therefore, the current civilization is not very happy. So, when Lord Ram came, he rescued Sita, he protected his devotees, he destroyed the demon Ravana, and he established a rule based on genuine religious principles. And therefore, his kingdom was a very good place. You know, the citizens were satisfied. So that's another aspect of the relevance of Lord Ramachandra. And, of course, there's also a personal story there as well. The story of how he was a good son to his father, King Dasarath. How he did what he ordered. Even though he was to be the king after Dasarath, his father, one of Dasarath's other wives asked him, "No, don't let Ram, your eldest son, be king. Let my son be king." And she had the right to do that because in the past she had done a great favor to the king, and he had granted her the right to ask anything from him at any time. So when the time came, she asked, "No, let my son be the king, and let Ram be exiled." So Dasarath honored his word, and because of that, Ram, to satisfy his father, went into the forest. But when he went to the forest, his young wife, Sita, agreed to go with him. And also his brother, Lakshman, wanted also to go with him. So together, they went to live in the forest, in exile. It is an amazing story, you know, on, you know, a personal level. But these were not ordinary persons. They were the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ram, his eternal consort, Sita, the personification of the Lord's pleasure energy, and, you know, Lakshman, the eternal associate of the Lord, his brother. But he was, although he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was displaying Leela, like Leela, or pastimes, like a human being, in order to, you know, attract us. So the story of Lord Ram is very attractive, you know, on a personal level. And ultimately, we are persons. You know, there are some philosophers who think that ultimately we're not persons, that eventually we all merge into oneness. But that's not an actual fact. Ultimately, we remain persons. We remain eternal servants of God. And we are meant to enjoy personal, eternal relationships with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, you know, these pastimes, these personal pastimes that Lord Ram displayed with Sita, with his parents, with his brother, they inspire in us love for God and a desire to enter personally into those pastimes ourselves. And then another level of significance is found in the person of Hanuman, who was a member of the Vanaras. This is a race of beings that have bodies like apes or monkeys, but have highly developed intelligence, human-like intelligence, nevertheless. And sometimes people think, well, the idea of ape men was invented by the European scientists of the 19th century. But actually, the existence of creatures like this was understood long before that in India. And the Vanaras are an example. Of course, they had mystic powers also. You know, they weren't like ordinary apes or monkeys. You know, these Vanaras were very special kinds of beings. And among them, Hanuman was there. And he agreed to assist Lord Ramachandra in freeing Sita from Ravana, who had her captive in his kingdom of Lanka. So, Hanuman is the perfect example of service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jivaras Rupahoy Krishnara Nitya Das, the constitutional position of every individual soul is servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Hanuman was like that, the perfect servant. And therefore, he's worshipped, you know, all over India. There are many temples to Hanuman, you know, all over India. And why is that? You know, because he is the perfect example of the humble servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we're all trying to put ourselves in that same position of being humble servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as I mentioned at the beginning, Arjuna, the great devotee of Lord Krishna, had the flag of Hanuman on his chariot. So we also want to remember that we are all meant to be servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in our individual capacities. Of course, Hanuman, he had very wonderful abilities, very great abilities, and he used them in the service of Lord Ram to help him defeat Ravana, the great demon Ravana, who had kidnapped his wife, Sita. So, you know, there are many levels in which we can appreciate the appearance and pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, and we can appreciate it historically. We can appreciate it on the level of the ideal way to arrange human society. You know, we can appreciate it on the level of personal dealings. So there are many, many different levels on which this day is very meaningful to all of us. So does anybody have any questions or comments? Yes. Okay, I think we have a microphone so that everybody can hear your question, if you don't mind repeating it.
Hare Krishna. What were some of Rama's governing principles that made people so happy, citizens?
Well, the first principle is that the state was arranged according to religious principles, and religious principles were upheld. Today, there's a tendency to separate religious principles and the state. There's the idea that you can have, you know, the kingdom of heaven without God. So, in the kingdom of Lord Ram, you know, God was at the center. So that is the most important principle, and then everything follows from that. He upheld the principles of Dharma. But in an ideal Vedic state, things are arranged so that people can live their lives in a simple and natural way, and also make progress in going back home, back to Godhead. So, in a properly organized Vedic state, you'll find that certain, you know, the government protects the citizens. And this is one of the primary duties of the government, is to protect the citizens, especially to protect women, children, the brahmanas or spiritual teachers, the cows and other living things. And in today's society, we see that that's not really being done. It's vast numbers of children are, you know, being, you know, killed through abortion. Women are not being protected. In a certain way, society thinks it is, but if you actually look at how women are presented in the media, you know, as objects of sense gratification and exploit, you know, like for being presented basically as sex objects and things like that. You see that even though there's a lot of talk about women's rights and things like that, the actual culture is not really protecting women or children or the elderly or the Brahmins, those who actually know what the spiritual truth of life is. So in a kingdom organized according to Vedic principles, the Rama Raja, all that would be done. And the cows, too, as I mentioned. The cows, the animals. So today, you know, the cows are not being protected. You know, the government's organized their slaughter. So, therefore, we see that although people want, you know, peace and happiness, they're not finding it. They find themselves engaged in wars. Why is that? Because according to the laws of karma, if you're killing innocent creatures, then that's going to come back on human society in some way or another. But anyways, there's a lot, you know, that could be said about it, a lot more that could be said about it. Also, the sinful activities, which are identified in Vedic culture as being primarily intoxication, illicit sex, you know, gambling and meat eating, they were allowed in a limited way, but in modern society, the governments are promoting, you know, these activities to the hilt. So we're not, therefore, human society today is experiencing a lot of problems. Something else. Yes.
Do you know the story? Did he go in disguise?
Yes. So it said that Ram was very concerned about the citizens. So today, when politicians want to know, they conduct polls and things like that. But Ram would go dressed as an ordinary person out into the streets to mingle with the citizens and see what their problems were, what they were saying about him and his government. So he had his ways of attending to the citizens' needs. Something else? Yes?
Hi, Hare Krishna. I was just wondering about Sita Devi, because there's this, toward the end of the pastimes, there was something about how Sita Devi had been touched by Ravan, so she was considered impure or something, and she ended up disappearing into the earth. And I was just wondering if you could kind of tell us a little bit about that part of the pastime.
Well, the history of Sita is a very deep one, and it takes a lot of understanding to appreciate all the details of what happened with her. When Lord Chaitanya was traveling in South India, he met a Brahmin there who raised the exact same question. How could it be that Ravana had, this demon had touched Sita, who was the consort of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So Lord Chaitanya, in his travels in South India, he found sacred literatures, Vedic literatures, that explained that it was not the real Sita that Ravana had touched, that it was a false Sita that he had touched. It's a very deep question. Okay. So, just briefly, there are shastras that explain that it was not, the real Sita who was touched by Ram. She had gone into fire, and she was replaced by another Sita. And then later, afterwards, when she was tested by going into the fire, the false Sita went away, the real Sita came back. Sita Ram Ki Jai!
Namo Om.